We reported yesterday on the violence in Mexico between the government of Felipe Calderon, who's attempting to take control back from drug cartels, which have long had free rein in Mexico. And this is what it sounds like in the English-speaking news world.
Major threat on the border with Mexico because of a widening drug war.
Drug cartels are battling throughout the city.
They're terrorizing the country with very public acts of violence.
Juarez, where the violence has been especially brutal.
A group of Mexican soldiers was found with their heads cut off.
1,600 people killed in this city last year. Juarez police officers are fighting for their lives. Beheaded, tortured, strafed with bullets.
People in El Paso, Texas, don't need to turn on their televisions to know what's going on across the border. In many cases, they can see signs of the violence from their own windows and backyards. Joining us now is Carlos Spector, who's an El Paso-based immigration attorney, to talk about what is one of the consequences. People seeking refuge, political asylum in the United States because of the drug violence across the border. Carlos Spector, thanks for joining us. And how has this had an impact on the very work that you do on, immigration law?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you from El Paso. Yeah, I've been handling Mexican asylum cases since the early 1990s. And as of April or May of last year, we've seen a dramatic increase in the number of Mexicans seeking asylum, from journalists to police and women. And, of course, the increased violence in May and April, everyone's tracing that with the advent of the Mexican military to the north in a program called Conjunto Chihuahua, which is sending thousands of troops to the north to deal with the drug trafficking crime. And the problem with that is that the military is part of the problem. When you talk about drug trafficking, there are no good guys in this movie. This is like an Abbott and Costello movie when you have the choice between Frankenstein, Dracula, and the werewolves. Frankenstein is the local police, which is big, slow, and brutish, but they work all day and all night. Dracula comes out at night only, but he's pretty slick. And the werewolf, which is the military, is strong, vicious, agile, and the best assassin. But it only comes out once a month with the full moon. And that's the guy that the U.S. is supporting in this battle, the werewolf, the least of three evils. But you have the military supporting one cartel, the Sinaloa cartel. You have the state of Chihuahua supporting the Juarez cartel. And then you had the local police and commander of the police station also supporting the military. So you have these internecine fights, but each level of government is supporting a drug trafficking cartel. Mexico's Charles Bowden, a great book on the border, states that Mexico is the country where everybody understands and no one knows. And what I am enunciating to you is what the press has not picked up on and what the U.S. government doesn't want to look at, because the good guys in this movie is the military, and they feel they have no other option. But we've seen a drastic spike of human rights violations by the Mexican government, which we are now viewing as Pinochet on crack cocaine.
Wow.
I just wanted to bring up something. The New York Times recently did a story about how Mexico's drug laws, and this was their story, are tougher than the U.S. ones. And there's a lot of smuggling of a lot of smuggling of guns across the border from the U.S. into Mexico, which seems counterintuitive to, a lot of folks. What's your take on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the guns are flowing into Mexico, and the drug laws in Mexico are pretty tough, but so are their labor rights, and so is their constitution. It's in the implementation of the laws, and that's really part of the problem in terms of perceiving Mexican reality. It's such a different, surrealistic reality that to try to view it through American eyes, I think, distorts their reality. And our solutions.
Well, it's a cultural war, and that's been described a number of times on the program. Before we go, Carlos, how is this not economic refugees attempting to seek another pathway into the United States, noting the violence in the border, versus people who actually have a claim for political asylum?
Yeah, that's a great question. But now, quite frankly, some of it, and to a large degree, there are a lot of economic refugees who are seeking political refuge, but they don't qualify. in order to qualify for political asylum, you've got to be fleeing state persecution on the basis of your political opinion or membership in a particular social group. And if it's not the state, you got to show that the state can't protect you. For example, what we're seeing is the massive flow of women fleeing domestic violence, which is a social group that's protected under refugee law because of the historic abuse of women in Mexico, compounded by the lawlessness and the narco trafficking culture, which is really submitting women to a lesser role.
A violent situation. I mean, that's a great single example. We'll have to leave it there. But Carlos Spector, El Paso-based immigration attorney, thanks for that spectacular analysis involving werewolves, Dracula, and Frankenstein in the lawlessness below the border and the spike in immigration and political asylum claims in the United States. Thank you, Carlos.